Welcome to the Climate Report on WFMP FM Louisville. This is Hart Hagen, your host, and we are on episode number 104. Today's topic is water. We'll be talking about water in a few minutes, but first, here's what the Climate Report is all about. We believe that climate change is real, which is an understatement. In fact, climate change is worse than most people suspect or imagine, even those who believe in it. I embrace the recent conclusions of the IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which asserts that we must not only start but finish a transition to renewable energy within the next 10 years. Even then, there are no guarantees, which is all the more reason to start now. The time for change is yesterday. And we need to look not only at individual change, as important as that is, but also at systemic change. We need to fundamentally change our economic system, and we need to fundamentally change our political system. We need for our economic system and political system to be almost entirely different from what they are now. Although all the changes will be positive, we have an opportunity to create a whole new world. We have an opportunity to remove many of the risks that now confront us. We have an opportunity for a world with clean air, clean water, lesser incidence of unnecessary disease. We have an opportunity to create a world with a whole new food delivery system. We have an opportunity to create a world in which American workers can thrive and Latin American workers can thrive. We have an opportunity to create a world in which people's health care is paid for. And why not? All other advanced countries have socialized health care that is less expensive and gets better outcomes than our for-profit system. So we have an opportunity to create a whole new world in which there is economic justice, environmental justice, and social justice. But the gravity of the problem and the urgency of the problem cannot be underestimated. All around the globe, we have ice melting at the Arctic and at the Antarctic, and in the glacial regions such as Greenland. We also have ice melting from the tops of mountains. These snow-covered mountaintops are called snowcaps, and they are vital to the water supply of people who live downstream from them. The ice itself has a cooling effect on the valleys below. Ecosystems and agricultural production depend on this cooling effect. We must understand that the catastrophic effects of climate change are not in the future, but they are here and now, including the aforementioned ice melting, including the warming of the oceans. Warming of the oceans causes destruction to marine life, and it also locks in a certain amount of global warming, which is not good. The warming that we've had so far has caused stronger hurricanes, stronger rainfalls, hotter heat waves, drier droughts. And when there are droughts and heat waves, that impacts crop production so that it compromises people's food supply, but also water supply, because quite simply, drought dries up water supplies. Also, drought causes forests to burn. We need to rely on our forests to absorb excess carbon from the atmosphere, but when a forest burns, it does just the opposite and emits carbon into the atmosphere. This is why it's time to stop playing around, and I'm not putting any blame on you, the individual. What we need is systemic change. Although to some extent we're all in the grid, to some extent we all participate in this system, but some participate more equally than others, if you will. The power in our society is held by a very small fraction of the people that have the most money, and that has got to change. We have decided as a society to give the most power to those who have the most money. and we need to decouple money and power. Or we need to remove the money gently, non-violently, but remove the money from the fraction of 1% who have most of it and who exercise dangerous control, who exercise their control in a way that is dangerous to everyone, including you, including me, our children, grandchildren, wildlife, water supplies, food supplies, etc. No time to go into this part, but big corporations are public enemy number one. Big corporations, not small corporations, but big corporations. Too much money in too few hands is dangerous. Money is not benign if it is unevenly distributed. Money is like fire. A little bit of it is good, but too much of it can cause damage and destruction to everything in its path. Too much money in too few hands equals the right to destroy the rainforests. Too much money in too few hands means the right to steal people's water supplies. Too much money in too few hands means the right to continue to emit fossil fuels and drill for fossil fuels in processes that are very toxic to the air, water, and soil. Too much money in too few hands equals the power to start wars. So tell me that too much money in too few hands is not dangerous. Money is not benign. It gives people too much power to cause mischief, too much power to do violence. That's why big corporations are public enemy number one, because what is a corporation? At the end of the day, a corporation is a money machine. An investor puts money into the corporation and wants to get more money out, and the more, the better. Corporations are vehicles for concentrating power and amassing way too much wealth in too few hands. That's what they do. That's what they do best, and that is their sole purpose. People who think that big corporations are delivering all these benefits to our society need to take another look and need to rethink the damage big corporations do versus the supposed benefits, and can we get some of those same supposed benefits, or even better, without all of the unintended consequences, without all the downside, without all the toxicity, without all the pollution, without all the war and deforestation. One last thing about the climate report. This is a course in intellectual self-defense, so we can defend ourselves against the onslaught of corporate propaganda and even laugh at these things, because what we are asked to believe are truly ridiculous. We must learn to separate rhetoric from reality so we can be powerful players in a functioning democracy. And that's what the Climate Report is all about. This program is part of WFMP's Public Affairs Educational Programming. The views expressed are those of the speaker and not the station. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please email info@theclimatereport.net. So today's topic is water. I'm going to be reading from the Green Party platform because I think it has a good discussion of a lot of different issues, not least of all water. So the Green Party platform is a 65-page document. In previous episodes, I have read through parts of the Democratic platform and the Republican platform. In this episode, I'm going to be looking at Chapter 4 of the Green Party platform. Chapter 4 is Economic Justice and Sustainability. Correction, I'll be reading from Chapter 3, Ecological Sustainability, which includes topics like climate change, energy, nuclear issues, transportation, zero waste, reduce, reuse, recycle, clean air and ozone depletion, land use, water, agriculture, biological diversity, ethical treatment of animals, forestry practices, and ocean protection. So we'll be looking at Section H, water. Full disclosure, I am a member of the Green Party, but I'm not here to recruit anybody into the Green Party. It just happens that they have a good body of literature that I draw from with some regularity. But I also circulate through other sources as well. So let's look at what the Green Party platform has to say about water. Water is essential to all forms of life. The Green Party calls for an international declaration that water belongs to the earth and all of its species. Water is a basic human right. The U.S. government must lead the way in declaring water a fundamental human right and prevent efforts to privatize, export, and sell for profit a substance that is essential to all life. We face a worldwide water crisis. According to the United Nations, more than 1 billion people lack access to safe drinking water. If the current trends persist, by 2025, as much as two-thirds of the world's population will be living with a serious scarcity of water. Multinational corporations recognize these trends and are moving fast to monopolize water supplies around the world. They argue that privatizing water is the best way to allocate this valuable resource, and they are scheming to have water declared a human need so that it can be commodified and sold on the open market, ensuring that the allocation of water will be based on principles of scarcity and profit maximization. We do not agree. With water sold to the highest bidder, the rich will have plenty, while the poor will be left with little but polluted water. Short-term profits will preclude any concern for long-term sustainability. We must stop this privatization before the infrastructures become so established that it will be impossible to avoid a disaster of epic proportions. Governments are signing away their control over their domestic water supplies by participating in trade treaties such as the North American Free Trade Agreement and in institutions such as the World Trade Organization. The World Bank recently adopted a policy of water privatization and full-cost water pricing. So what I read above is somewhat self-explanatory, but a prevailing theme in the world today is privatization. It goes along with a philosophy called neoliberalism, which believes falsely that government governs best which governs least. That's just absolutely false in a world that has scarce resources. Neoliberalism tries to put a price tag on everything and believes falsely that the best way to manage anything is to leave it to the free market. One problem with that thinking is that the free market doesn't exist. It never has and it never will. All markets have rules, it's just that some of those rules are somewhat egalitarian and other rules favor the rich. And just like it was saying here, we have a scarcity of water. If water is not a human right, I don't know what is. And with climate change, water is going to become more scarce. The people who are making money off of other people's suffering have little desire or incentive to allow government to manage scarce resources. Corporations as an institution only want profit. They're short-sighted and even blind, but they can smell money. And to our corporate institutions, money is all that matters. The only counterweight to that relentless and rapacious drive for money is a democratically controlled government that is allowed to put limits on what corporate greed can do. and the very embodiment of corporate greed are these so-called free trade agreements, the North American Free Trade Agreement and the World Trade Organization. These agreements have little or nothing to do with free trade. They have everything to do with corporate greed and exploitation. They were written by and for corporations, and they are only the most egregious instance of corporate greed that is willing to exploit people and deny them their rights. Some people listening to these words might falsely think that I'm against all business. I'm not, but I believe business needs socialist protections. Small business needs to be protected from big business. Small farms need to be protected from big farms, agribusiness operations. Small countries need to be protected from big countries. Otherwise, what we've got is the rule of force, not the rule of law. So here's what the Green Party platform recommends for controlling corporate greed and giving people the right to water and clean water. We need strong national and international laws to promote conservation, reclaim polluted water systems, develop water supply restrictions, ban toxic and pesticide dumping, control or ban corporate farming, and bring the rule of law to transnational corporations that pollute water systems. You know, the rule of law is an interesting concept, and it's one of those things that is observed more in the breach than in the observance, or it is honored more in the breach than in the observance. The United States on the world stage has no regard whatsoever for the rule of law. That is evidenced by how frequently we get into wars just because we want to, not that there's any legal or ethical or moral basis for the war. And our government will lie and lie and lie to the American public so that it can continue to get into war because it does not regard the rule of law. It only regards the rule of force. Because the United States military is the biggest, the baddest, and the meanest, and we go whipping up on every little defenseless country because we can. Especially when those defenseless countries dare to be independent. Libya was too independent. Iraq was too independent. Afghanistan was too independent. And this is not any disrespect to our soldiers. Our soldiers are people who needed a job, so they took a job. We should give better job opportunities to our young people. We should give our young people opportunities to get good jobs with benefits in life-affirming activities like water management or wildlife management or the establishment of small, local, organic farms. And we need to teach our young people that there are many ways to serve our country other than participating in all the needless militarism. Continuing to read in the Green Party platform, mining and depleting the present underground aquifers. An aquifer is an underground formation that holds water, and that's where much of our water supply comes from. Mining and depleting the present underground aquifers must be severely restricted. Implement strong laws to promote conservation, reclaim polluted water systems, develop water supply restrictions, ban toxics and pesticide dumping, control corporate farming, and bring the rule of law to trans-state and transnational operations that pollute water systems. So the prime example of needless operations that pollute water system is fracking, hydraulic fracturing. Fracking is a relatively new technology that allows us to get lots and lots of oil and gas out of the ground that was previously inaccessible. But it's toxic, it's polluting, and it requires lots and lots of water. In fact, it requires water that we don't have. So that's why this paragraph suggests that we need to bring the rule of law to these operations that pollute water systems. In the Ohio Valley, I'm in the Ohio River Valley in Louisville, the Ohio River Valley has these new petrochemical hubs that are cropping up all of a sudden. They are basically plants that manufacture plastics. The process of making the plastics is highly toxic in terms of how the raw materials are extracted, how the materials are refined, and how the byproducts of the manufacturing process are stored. These petrochemical plants potentially threaten the water supply of the entire region. Continuing to read in the Green Party platform, Greens oppose the privatization of water and demand that the U.S. government pass strong laws with effective enforcement mechanisms to assure a safe and adequate supply of water for its citizens and all life within its borders. Now, this is a perfectly reasonable proposition. We should have strong laws that protect our water supply. Why would we want to mess around with our water supply? And the only reason we're having this conversation is that in our society, there are some people who count and others who don't count. But we need laws that are democratic and egalitarian and, yes, socialist. Because all socialism means is that we are dealing with shared resources and they need to be managed as shared resources. Number 3, decisions about water must be based on an ecosystems approach. Use an ecosystems/watershed approach to ensure responsible water use. All stakeholders need to participate in the planning. Emphasis on the word stakeholders. We need to involve stakeholders in the process, not just stockholders. Currently, our economy and our government are owned by stockholders. They're owned by the corporations and the wealthiest investors in those corporations. And I'm not talking about small corporations. I'm talking about the large corporations. I'm talking about the Fortune 500. These people should not be allowed to control our entire society and our entire economy and our entire environment, and yet they do. That needs to change. We need to create a system whereby people can vote on the things that affect them. Continuing to read, environmental justice, ecological impact, and depletion of groundwater supplies need to be integrated with the ongoing process for approval of new withdrawals. Cycles of intense drought and flooding have demonstrated the need to reorient our priorities in order to achieve a truly sustainable water policy. In other words, because water is a shared asset and because water is a human right, it is not open to just anybody who wants to take it. Continuing to read, overdevelopment and poor planning have resulted in increasing rain, impermeable areas, which compounds the severity and frequency of flooding and pollution in regions downstream. In other words, we need to plan in such a way that contemplates that we will have rainfall and that stormwater must be managed and channeled in a way that's good for humans and ecosystems so that we don't have excessive flooding and or pollution. Next paragraph, we must begin to understand and apply a holistic watershed approach to managing our water resources. The principle of bioregionalism, living within the means of a region's natural resources, should give direction to future water policies. So, bioregionalism is a really good term. It means living within the means of a region's natural resources. So a region should not use more water than that region affords, especially if it's industrial and toxic processes that rob people of the water that they need to live. Continuing to read, conservation must be an essential part of any water policy. Water conservation also reduces energy consumption and pollution. To conserve water, the Green Party proposes to do the following things. Mandate water-efficient appliances and fixtures be used in all new construction and promote retrofitting of older buildings. Item B, promote native landscaping and other drought-resistant, climate-appropriate plants in order to reduce the need for irrigation. So what we have in the United States is we have lawns that aesthetically they come from Europe. We use European grasses, which need a lot of water, especially if you're in a drier area such as California. That is the unwise use of water. Item C, promote drip irrigation systems where irrigation is necessary. In other words, drip irrigation is better than spray irrigation because it uses less water to water the plants. But in any event, we really need to cut down on the amount of water that we dedicate to lawns. And we need to change our aesthetic tastes from the traditional lawn to something that is more native and so that it supports wildlife and also has less thirst for water. Item D, eliminate storm water pollution of our water resources through education of our citizens, enforcement of our laws, and holistic watershed management. In other words, we want to prevent too much water from running directly from parking lots and streets into streams because that's bad for the watershed. Here's an interesting item, F. Promote the appropriate reuse of gray and black waters we produce. Use separation techniques such as dual piping systems where pure water is used for drinking and washing and reclaimed water is used for lawn watering and similar purposes. In other words, when we have gray and black water, we don't want to push that into the waterways. We need to capture it in holding basins and allow it to soak into the ground in a way that is harmless. I've got about another minute to wrap it up. The thing is, water should be a natural right, and water should be managed as a shared resource. But corporations only know one thing, and that's profit. If they have to exploit resources to make a profit, they will do that. We have a big, huge, large, gigantic myth in our country that says whatever is good for business is good for everybody. But nothing could be further from the truth. We need strong laws that protect our water resources in a way that saves those resources for people and for wildlife and for watersheds. This will occur only when people like you and me organize, educate, and agitate. As powerful as money is, the only thing that's more powerful is pressure from people. Educate, organize, agitate. Thanks for joining me.